Amen. So the title of the sermon this morning is Denying Reality is Dangerous. Denying Reality is Dangerous. And we'll come back there to 1 Samuel in a minute, really at the end of the sermon, if you want to keep something there. But if you would, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, or excuse me, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I want to preach about this idea of, you know, people who are, when they are confronted with facts, whether it be about the Bible or just reality in general, or maybe even a situation that they find themselves in, you know, when people are confronted about facts concerning those things, denying those facts can be a very dangerous thing. Often when we're confronted with a reality, sometimes people are confronting us with that reality to warn us, or they're trying to get us to heed some advice or admit some wrong. And when we fail to do that, we're putting ourselves on very dangerous ground. When we decide to just deny reality and just believe something that is contrary to the truth, I'm here to tell you that that is dangerous. Denying reality is dangerous. In fact, it can even get to a point with some people that you would say this person is denying reality to the point where they're delusional, where people can have these delusions about themselves and who they are or some circumstance, to the point where even psychiatrists would say this person is suffering from a mental illness because they're just so obstinate and just so set in their ways, and they're just so unwilling to admit that things are other than the way they say they are. They are delusional, is what people would say. They have a false or unrealistic belief or opinion. It's false. People can show them facts. They can show them things from the Bible. They can clearly tell them the way it really is, and they'll say, no, 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 that's not the case. That's living in denial, and that is being delusional. Denying reality is dangerous in several different ways. We'll look at it very briefly this morning. And obviously, I can't cover every way in which denying reality is going to pose some kind of a threat to you. But think about just broadly speaking when it comes to this idea about death. You know, denying reality is about death is dangerous. And people do that all the time in several different ways. You think about the person who thinks, oh, I'm just going to live forever. You know, I'm going to have my whole life ahead of me. It doesn't really matter what I do. I'm 6 foot tall and bulletproof. I can just get away with anything. You know, that's a dangerous ground to be on. That's not reality. You know, we're all frail. Even the strongest of us could be cut down early in life. We could get a disease. We could get in some kind of an accident. If we're careless and reckless and we're putting ourselves out there just thinking that nothing can harm us, I'm telling you, you're treading on dangerous ground. That's dangerous ground to be on. That's a denial of reality. You know, spiritually speaking, people deny reality about death all the time, don't they? We talk to them all the time about soul winning. Are you sure going to heaven? I don't know. Oh, yeah, I'm going. Why? Well, because I'm a good person. Well, that's not reality. No one's going to heaven because they're a good person. Hell is full of good people because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We understand that. Denying a reality about death is dangerous. I mean, think about the atheist who denies the spiritual reality. They just want to, you know, don't want to live it with a worldview that can only be explained through, you know, some textbook that a man wrote, through what they learned at some college or what some professor taught them, and, you know, what they spent tens of thousands of dollars to be indoctrinated with. You know, they want to live with that reality, and what they're doing is they're denying the spiritual reality that there is a heaven, that there is a hell, that they are a sinner, and that there is a Savior, and if they deny Him, they are going to pay for their own sins, and they're going to suffer eternal vengeance of hellfire. They're going to experience death for eternity in hell. They're going to be cast in that lake of fire, which is the second death. The Bible says it is appointed unto a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. That is a spiritual reality that people are in denial of today. They deny that. They say, oh, I'm not going to be judged. Yes, you are. That's what the Bible says. I have clear scripture that says after you die, after it's appointed you to die, and you will die, you will face God, you will be judged, and you will be found guilty before a holy God and cast headlong into a hell of fire. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If that isn't a delusional individual that the Bible is describing there, I don't know what it is. I mean, that's a perfect verse for this morning's sermon. That's a person who's denying reality. They say, well, this seems right to me. This is how I feel about a situation. It just logically, this is how I explain it. This is my truth. They say, this is the way it is for me. It seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, because there is only one truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if people want to dream up some other way into heaven, they can go ahead and live in that, you know, their made-up illusion, but that's not the spiritual reality that we all live in, that there is a God that we are going to stand before and be judged. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 18, he said, let no man deceive himself. You know, the Bible said there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. You know, people, they live their lives and they just deceive themselves about reality. They deny things for, you know, many different reasons. He said, let no man deceive himself. This is something that's just in human nature. People don't want to admit to the fact that there is a hell. The atheist wants to deny the truth of Scripture. And even among, you know, God's people, even among saved individuals, Bible-believing Christians who've been born again, even we can, even when it comes to the things of God, can read the Bible, hear the preaching of the Word of God, and just say, well, that's just not how I see it. I don't believe that. Well, you know what? You're deceiving yourself. Because if we have chapter and verse, you know, then we have a concrete reality that is not, you know, is not objective. It's not subjected to your opinion. It's not subjective to your feelings. You know, and if you want to deny that, then you know what? You're doing the complete opposite of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You're deceiving yourself. You're not deceiving anybody else. You're the only person that's deceived. And look, it's something that we can do to ourselves. You know, we're warned, and you know, we'll see here in a minute, we're warned many times throughout Scripture to let no man deceive us. That there are many antichrists, even now in the world, that have gone out and that are going to try and deceive us until Christ returns. But you know what? There is always that external threat of deception. But you know what? There's also an eternal one. There's one that comes from within. It is possible for a man to say, well, this seems right to me, and end up what? Deceiving himself. And saying, well, I know what the Bible says about this subject, and I know it's what the Bible says about that subject, but that's just not how I feel. He says, if any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, and that's a lot of times what we'll do. We'll bring the world's philosophy and say, well, let me see how I can match this up with the Bible. It's not going to match. And usually what the world gets right, you'll find in Scripture anyway. Usually what the world does the right way, whether they know it or not, they're basing it off biblical principles, sometimes outright biblical doctrines. He says, if any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, well, I know how the world operates, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Wise, how do you become a fool and become wise? You stop saying, well, it seems right to me. Oh, this is how I think it should be. You stop saying that. You say, you know what? My upbringing, the things that I inherited from my parents and the education system and the values and the philosophies that have been pushed upon me, you know, they're foolish. They're foolish. They're false. They don't line up with Scripture. And that's when you say, you know what? Now I can actually become wise according to God's wisdom and not according to the world. But if we drag this worldly philosophy, if we drag our old man and we have our own way which seems right unto us, we drag that into the Christian life and try to put, you know, a round peg into a square hole, it's not going to work. And the end thereof is going to be death in one way, shape, or form. We're going to suffer. The Bible says in verse 19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. You know, those that in terms of this, you know, spiritual reality, those that are denying reality about death, you know, they are in very dangerous ground. If you would go to 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter number 1. You know, the atheist just outright denies the spiritual reality that we all live in. The spiritual reality that the Bible clearly teaches. And they mock at it and they scoff at it. But what about those that just trust in their own works? We run across that too. Might even be good people. You know, they're also deceiving themselves. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 25, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You say, preacher, you're repeating yourself. No, the Bible's repeating itself. Within two chapters, the Bible reiterates this thought that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, obviously everything the Bible says, every command, every instruction, every verse, every word is important. But when the Bible is repeating itself, you know, we ought to take heed to that. You have to say, wait a minute, there's real consequences when I just do what I think is right and not according to the Word of God. The Bible says, I have you go to 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 8. It says, if we have no sin, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So here's this idea of self-deception. Here's this idea of, again, of somebody who denies reality and says, well, I'm not that bad of a person. I mean, I know we all sin, but I've done more good than bad. I haven't killed anybody. You know, I haven't murdered or raped or committed adultery. I haven't kidnapped anyone. I don't even steal. And this is the spiritual bar that the world raises. And look, those are all good things to do. Let's not start killing and stealing and everything else. By all means, have that bar. But understand that that is not the bar that God holds up. The righteousness that we have to have is the righteousness of Christ. That's why the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have come short. I don't care how moral and good and righteous your life has been, it's far short of God's righteousness. It will never measure up. He's saying, look, if we say we have no sin, well, I'm not that bad. We deceived ourselves. And people deceive themselves all the time out there. Say, oh, I believe there's a God. I believe he's holy, but I also believe that I'm good enough to go to heaven on my own merit. You're deceiving yourself. You're denying reality, and it's dangerous. It says, if we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, you know, that's a very broad way in which people deny reality. And we would apply that, you know, to the world in general, to the lost out there, be it the atheist or the person who's just relying in their own goodness, their own works, in order to earn themselves a passage into heaven. But what about within God's people? What about when we bring it home to the saved? Because it's not like when we get saved, all of a sudden everything we believe just instantly lines up with the Bible. Or that we'll ever find ourselves in some kind of a position where, you know, we're just going to deny reality about a situation. You know, one way in which people do this, even among God's people, is they begin to deny reality about doctrine. You know, the world denies reality about death, but God's people, a lot of times, they can start to deny reality about the doctrines of the Bible. They'll hear preaching of the Word of God and say, well, I just don't think, and I just don't feel. And what they'll start to do is they'll start to develop a way which seemeth right unto them. And they'll start to deny what the Scripture clearly teaches. Jesus answered and said, and this is John 7, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You know, there is a will that God has for us. There is doctrine that God wants us to adhere to. And we can't just deny reality about doctrine. We can't just teach things that are false just because it's more convenient. And people teach a lot of false things today, aren't there? Isn't there a lot of false teaching out there, even under the umbrella of what's called Christendom today? I mean, so many different churches and so many different denominations, you know, we would say, oh, that's a Christian church. You know, there used to be a time when the Catholics would say, oh, I'm not Christian, I'm Catholic. But now even they're saying, oh, I'm Christian. Now, do they teach some false doctrine? You bet they do. And they're not the only ones. You know, the Mormons would say, oh, I'm Christian. But you know what? Do they teach false doctrine? Of course. The Jehovah's Witnesses say, oh, yeah, we're Christian, we believe the Bible. Do they not teach a lot of false doctrine? Of course they do. And even in independent, and I'm not saying, you know, just because we're Baptists, we never preach anything that's wrong. We don't have some things that are wrong. Believe me, it's out there. We have error. No one's perfect. You know, but we strive to be biblical in our teaching as any sincere child of God ought to, and not sit there and deny reality about doctrine. It's dangerous. I mean, think about even amongst independent fundamental Baptists, there's this thing called the pre-trib rapture. You might have heard of it. I've been post-trib for so long, I forget there's even a thing called pre-trib. You know, but for a long time, that's what I believed. I wasn't really sure why I believed it. It was just because that's what the pastor believed, and he never really taught me why I should believe it. Because it's kind of hard to teach from the Bible. When the Bible says, after the tribulation, he would go over to Matthew chapter number 15. You know, that's a big deception that's out there today. What's so dangerous about that? What's so dangerous about people just believing that Jesus could come at any moment? Before the end of the service this morning, Jesus could be here. You better get saved today. It makes for good preaching. And maybe I could scare some people down the aisle to get saved. But it's not biblical. Well, what's so dangerous about it? What's so bad? Well, I don't know. Isn't there something in the Bible about how there's going to be this Antichrist that comes first? You know, this false Messiah. And if you've got all of these people looking for the imminent return of Jesus, they might be deceived by him, especially those who are not saved. And I don't have time to develop all that. Obviously, that's a whole sermon in and of itself. That's just one example I'm bringing up, though, where people want to start denying reality about doctrines, even God's people. And look, it sets people up to fail. It puts people on dangerous ground because denying reality is dangerous for the unsaved and for the saved. And when people begin to teach false things, what they're doing, whether they realize it or not, when they deny reality and they deny reality about doctrine, what they're doing is they're deceiving other people. And look, we as preachers and God's people, we are not at liberty to go beyond the bounds of Scripture. You know, obviously we can get up and preach our opinion. We can preach those things as long as we're making it understood that this is my opinion. And everyone in this room knows I certainly have preached my opinion. You know, but I've made that, I feel like I do a good job of making sure people understand, hey, this is my opinion. If you don't agree with me, you know, you're somehow in sin or anything like that. You might be wrong, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe I shouldn't be so quick to deny reality either. But the point is that we are not at liberty as God's people to just go beyond what the Scripture teaches. If you're there in Matthew 15, verse 4, it says, "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother." Of course, this is Jesus reproving the Pharisees. And he's saying that the Bible says in verse 4 that God said, commanded, saying, "Honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not his father or his mother, shall be free." He's saying, look, God said clearly in the Scripture that if you don't honor your father or mother, or you curse your father or mother, let him die the death. He said, that's what God commanded. But ye say, ye Pharisees, ye teach what? The traditions of men. You say something other than that. You have your opinion, and you're denying doctrine, and you're putting people on very dangerous ground. Ye say that if you yet you shall be free. And you have made, verse 6, the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. And look, even Christians, even Baptists are guilty of this. Of getting up and just preaching their tradition. Just saying, well, and look, there's nothing wrong with tradition. Obviously, there's things that we do. There's things that we practice. We don't really have any, you know, necessarily clear Scripture on why we do those things. But we're also, by doing certain traditions, you know, we're not violating clear Scripture either. That's where you draw the line. When what I'm teaching, like the Pharisees here, with my opinion, with my the way which seems right unto me, is clearly violating a command of God, now I've crossed the line. And now I'm on dangerous ground, and I'm trying to bring everybody else with me. Jesus went on and said in verse 7, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me," doing what? "Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." See, this is something we have to be very careful about in our Christian life. To not, you know, when it comes to this idea of denying reality about doctrine, we can't just start preaching and teaching, you know, the doctrines of men for the commandments of God. You can't say, well, this is what I believe, therefore you have to do this. Well, this is what the church did, this is what my parents did, this is what I'm going to do. Why? Well, it's just because that's what we do. Well, I got a Bible here, it says it's wrong. You should quit doing that. Well, I'm going to keep doing it anyway. You're on dangerous ground. You're denying reality. And look, some traditions obviously are fine to do. But if someone can come to us and say, look, what you're doing is wrong, you know, we need to get on, and they can show us from the Bible, we need to get on, you know, that on that program, on the Bible's program. And this is something we got to keep in mind because, you know, people, this is just human nature, people just tend to just do things just because that's what they've always done. It reminds me of that illustration I heard a long time ago. I don't know if I ever shared it, but there was this young couple. They got married, and he's sitting down for dinner, and he's watching his new wife, prepare the meal. And she takes the ham, and she cuts off both ends, and she sticks it in the pan and puts it in the oven. He says, oh, that's weird. I don't know why she just cut off all that, both ends of that meat. You know, she just got rid of it. And he didn't think anything of it. It's just, oh, I guess that's just the way she does it. Then he was over at her mother's house, and he's watching his mother-in-law prepare that ham, and mom cut off both ends and put it in the pan and stuck in the oven. And then, well, that's weird. Wonder why she does that. So he asked her, and so, you know, I noticed your daughter does that. Why are you doing that? She says, I don't know. That's what my mother always did. I said, oh, okay. And then, you know, another family gathering comes, and grandma's there, and grandma's making the ham this time. And, you know, she cuts off both ends and puts it in the oven. He says, haha, I'm going to figure out why they're doing this. This strange tradition. That's not how we did in my house. So he goes to grandma and says, you know, I noticed, you know, your granddaughter and your daughter both do that. They cut the hams off, the ends off the ham and stick it in the oven. Why do they do that? She says, well, I do it so it fits in the pan. And it's just, that's the idea that just people just do things because that's just what they've been taught. They don't have a reason. You know, grandma's doing it because it makes sense. Well, that's the only pan I got. It's the only way I'm going to get it to fit in there. Then mom comes along and says, well, that's the way mom did it. She's got plenty of room in the pan, bought herself a brand new pan. Well, that you just cut the ends off. And it's a silly story, but look, this is the way people operate. This is how they do things. And look, obviously that's not harming anyone. You're wasting a little ham if you're doing that. But, you know, and a lot of the traditions we might have, we might just do just because, and they're not harming anything. But when it doesn't make sense, when someone comes to and says, look, that doesn't make any sense. In fact, it's wrong. In fact, it's sin. In fact, you're teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know, that's when we need to say, well, I got to change. Because you're at that point, you know, you're deceiving people. You are putting them on dangerous ground. And what is the danger of just taking liberties and just preaching your opinion as commandment? It's that you're condemning others. You're condemning others. When you say, well, this is the way we do it, and if anybody doesn't do it this way, then, then they can just, you know, nuts with them. You know, they can just go take a long walk off a short pier. I don't know, choose your idiom. You know, they condemn other people. Look at verse 1 of Matthew 15. This is what made Jesus so upset. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And what are they doing when they're saying, look, if you're not doing things the way we do them, you're transgressing our tradition. What are they doing? They're condemning people. They're condemning innocent people. This is dangerous. This is the dangerous ground of just denying reality. Whether it's about doctrine or some situation, when you just sit there and you're obstinate and stiff-necked and hard-hearted and just not willing to admit you're wrong, you can end up in some situations, you know, actually condemning people unjustly. That's what's going on in this story. And we saw how it went for them. I mean, Jesus kind of parked it there and called them some names. You know, Jesus got a little anti-Semitic there, I guess. Now here, you know, again, let me clarify, expressing an opinion and insisting that others share that opinion are two different things. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher, I've heard you get up there and I've heard you express your opinion from the pulpit. And yes, I have. And I have some very strong opinions about some things. I'm just kidding. You all know what it is. It's several different things. But I've never gotten up and said, you know, according to second opinions, and taught it as a commandment. I've never gotten up and said, no, in the book of Hezekiah, it says, and try to add to the word of God. I've never said that. And, you know, if people have ever wondered, is that his opinion? You know, I don't think people really do wonder when it's my opinion. I think it's pretty obvious. If I haven't clarified it, you know, it's pretty obvious. So there's nothing wrong with expressing an opinion to somebody. It's when we begin to insist that everybody else's opinion lines up with us. When we have our own perception of how things ought to be, when we say this is the way reality is, this is the way it has to be, and everybody else has to line up. You know, and even, and admittedly, I know I've gotten up and preached things that, you know, were wrong. At the time, it was like, it's not like I set out to do that. So I'm going to get up there and preach some error. I'm going to see if I can't wade out into the waters of heresy in this sermon. That's not what, you know, that's not my goal. You know, but I'm flawed, you know, newsflash, I'm sure to a lot of you. You know, I'm not perfect. You know, I'm learning the Bible too. I'm growing as a Christian too. Maybe I've been taught wrong things in the past. Maybe I've been stiff-necked and not allowed myself to be corrected in the past. You know, I've gotten up and preached things I know that were wrong. And I've, you know, later had, you know, either somebody come to me privately or even had, you know, a preacher get up and not that he was targeting me, but, you know, preach something that actually corrected me on something that I believed. And if it hasn't at least if it hasn't changed my mind completely on something I've taught, you know, maybe it's at least gotten me to consider the fact that maybe I am wrong about something I believe. Hopefully that's all making sense. But what I don't want to be is somebody who just says, well, I preached that once, and that's what I said, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago, and since I preached it, you know, I can't ever be wrong. Look, I've listened to sermons in my past, I've preached past, I said, well, that wasn't right. Whoops. I've heard other people get up and preach something and say, well, I guess I was wrong about that. But, you know, that's what I preach, so I'm just going to dig in my heels, and that's it. What would I be doing at that point? I'd be denying reality. When someone says, what you said, what you did is wrong, here's why, you can either admit that you're wrong or deny reality and stay wrong. And look, this, go to John 8. This is something that we need to understand because of the fact that when people begin to deny reality, they're deceiving other people. They're deceiving themselves. And what is deception? It's a form of lying. It's a form of lying. That's what it means to lie to somebody, to deceive them. Tell them something that's false and hoping that they'll believe it and go along with it. You know, that's demonic. You know, denying reality is dangerous when it comes to death. Denying reality is dangerous when it comes to doctrine. Denying reality is demonic. It's demonic because it's a form of lying, either to oneself or others. You're there in John 8. Look at verse 44. This is Jesus, again, just loving on the Jews there. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. You know, God, which promised the eternal life from when the world began, cannot lie. God can't lie, according to Titus 1. Where did lying come from? It came from Satan. That's why it says that he is the father of it. And look, I'm not saying, you know, if you're in denial about something, if you're being stiff-necked, that you're some kind of, you know, demoniac, that you're possessed and you're some kind of wicked reprobate. What I'm saying is this, is that you are perpetuating something that is of the devil. When we're denying reality, we're being like Satan, because what we're doing is we're lying. Well, I'm not lying to anybody else. Yeah, but even if you're lying to yourself, you're still lying. You know, and one way this really shows up, because no one's going to just admit that they, you know, just straight up are lying. And a lot of people don't even realize what they're saying is false. But look, if there is a situation where two people are having a dispute about the facts of the matter, one person is right and one person is wrong. And if people are going to dig in their heels, then you know what? Then somebody's lying. If somebody's saying, nope, this is the way it is, and that's not reality, that's lying, that's deception, it's denying reality, and it's demonic. And again, most people understand that. That's why they're not just going to come out and say, yeah, you know, I'm a liar. They just won't admit they're wrong, you know, not because they're trying to deceive somebody, but because they're too proud and just too stubborn to admit they're wrong. And whatever your reason for denying reality might be, whether it's, you know, whatever it might be, you know, at the end of the day, it's demonic, but at the end of the day, it's stubbornness. When we just get stiff-necked and hard-hearted, and go back to 1 Samuel 15, it'll be a short one this morning, 1 Samuel chapter number 15, You know, we see an example of that. And we read it this morning to kind of get the context here. I mean, this is what people do. They do like Saul did in this story, where they're told explicitly, very clear instructions. The word of God is preached. The man of God tells them, this is the way it is. This is the way it has to be. Don't do anything different. And then they just conjure up the reasons why they could do whatever they want. And say, wait, you can't sacrifice until I show up. Well, you know, it was getting late, Samuel. You were dragging your feet, and the people pressured me, and I just committed sacrifice. You know, and we went, and we saved the best of the sheep, and we saved the best of Agag alive. It was the people that wanted it. And Samuel doesn't go, oh, okay, well, I guess, you know, that makes sense. You know, I know I gave you very clear instruction, but, you know. No, he gets rebuked for it. Because what's really going on in Saul's heart is that he's stubborn. And fortunately, after he gets rebuked, you know, we won't take the time to look at it, he does admit that he sinned. And some people can't even do that. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, and I know we all know this, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When people are coming to you and saying what you're doing is wrong, what you're doing is wrong, what you're doing is wrong, when you're being often reproved, you're saying, no, it's not wrong, no, it's not wrong, and denying reality and being stubborn and hardening your neck, the Bible says that you shall suddenly be destroyed. It's like people that are in a car, they're just driving as fast as they can straight towards a cliff, and everybody in the car is going, cliff, cliff. There's a cliff. Stop. See all the signs? Slow down. You see the barrier up there? Nope. Not a cliff. Cars can't fly. Yes, they can. We're going to die. No, we won't. We got airbags. You know, you're denying reality. And again, that's a real basic, silly example, but, you know, you can apply that. This is the same mentality that people have, where just sit there and deny reality about a situation. They are what? Suddenly destroyed. You know, eventually they're going to go right through that barrier, sailing off into the open air and crash. And everyone in the car is going to be like, I told you so. After they're, scooping their brains up off the floor or whatever. When they're, you know, suddenly destroyed. That's why denying reality is dangerous. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. It's demonic. It's stubbornness. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You know what God really wants out of us more than anything is obedience. He says, I just want you to do what I told you to do. That's what I want. That's what God wants. Yeah, I know I disobeyed God, but, you know, I made this great big sacrifice. I did all these great things that you know, look so good. Yeah, but that's not what I told you to do. That's what God wants, is obedience. You know, that's all that parents, you know, obviously parents want a lot of things for their children, but you know what really blesses a parent's heart is when their children just do what they're told. I mean, we say it all the time, hopefully as parents, because I'm sure nobody's kids in this room are perfect. I'm sure we've all uttered those words, do what your mother told you to do. Do what I said. Do what your father said. Don't have some other idea. I think this is better. It doesn't matter. Obedience is what is needed. Because look, you know, when you're not obeying, what are you doing? You're rebelling. Well, is rebellion that bad? I mean, rebellion's kind of cool, right? I don't know who all the rebels are in Hollywood today, but, you know, wasn't there that movie Rebel Without a Cause? You know, James Dean, wasn't he just like the coolest guy? Didn't he like make like two movies and then die an early death? You know, well, there you go, glorifying rebellion. I never saw it. I don't even know what the movie's about, but I mean, it's all in the title. Rebel Without a Cause. Rebel! Oh, rebellion is so cool. And what is rebellion? It's hardening your neck. It's stiffening your neck, hardening your heart. It's saying, I'm not going to do what I'm told. That is rebellion. It's stubbornness. What does it lead to? Sudden destruction. The Bible says in verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Look, that is strong language. The Bible says, suffer not a witch to live. And this is Samuel saying this to King Saul over the fact that he made sacrifices, over the fact that he didn't kill, utterly destroy the Amalekites, over the fact that he didn't do what he was told. It wasn't even that he went and built some false god and you know, just did some abominable thing. The problem is he didn't do what he was told. It's rebellion. And look, that's what denying reality is. It's rebellion. You know, people can be shown in a situation where they're wrong. They can be shown why they're wrong, how they're wrong. And it's like you are the textbook definition of this sin. What you're doing is, it's textbook. It's the dictionary definition of what you're doing. And they'll say, no, it's different because you know, this and that situation. And if I had done this differently, and, you know, they have all these reasons why they're not wrong. But what they really are is they're still wrong. They're just stubborn about it, and they're rebels. And this is something that could creep into every single one of our lives, where we just have a clear command, a clear scripture, a clear directive given to us by some authority, and we just say, well, I just have better ideas. Well, you know what? It's rebellion, and it's witchcraft. It's as the sin of witchcraft. He says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry. And he's saying, and this isn't Samuel's opinion about the matter. Samuel's like, well, let me tell you what I think. This is what God thinks about it. This is what God thinks about rebellion. This is what God thinks about stubbornness. He thinks it's like the sin of witchcraft. He thinks stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but idolatry is pretty up high on the list of things that God hates. I mean, it's like, you know, thou shalt not make any graven image. That's like number two, number three. It's up there. So, you know, next time we want to just deny reality and think, well, I know better, or I'm not that way, or we have some explanation of why that doesn't apply to us, we might want to think about this passage. Because I'm telling you, it irritates God. I mean, we read the story this morning. Samuel says, God's taken the kingdom from you. He's going to give it to somebody else. He's going to give it to a man after his own heart. Being a stubborn, stiff-necked, and hard-hearted person irritates God. In fact, you know, that's putting it lightly. I would go so far as to say it makes God mad. Go to Galatians 6. We'll close there. Galatians chapter number 6. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Well, yeah, I hate evil. Okay, well, it goes on and lists some of the things you ought to hate then. If you hate evil, you would hate what? Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. He's saying the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then he goes on and says, because God hates evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. You know, he understood what evil is. Arrogancy, pride. And look, that's where rebellion and stubbornness and denying reality and self-deception come from pride and arrogancy. When people can't admit that they're wrong, when they're clearly confronted by the facts, it's because they're proud, arrogant people. You ever known anybody who's just never wrong? How would you describe that person? Proud and arrogant. Do you really want to spend time with people like that? People are just, they're always correcting you. They're always telling you why you're wrong, but you're never wrong. That's pride and arrogancy, folks. And he says, look, God hates the evil way. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogancy. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. There is this idea again of people deceiving themselves, people who are denying reality about some situation, maybe about some doctrine, just some reality, whatever it is. They sit there and they deceive themselves. And I know I've pointed it out, but isn't it interesting that it says he deceiveth everybody? No, he deceives himself. Samuel wasn't deceived by Saul. He saw the situation for what it was. He walked right up and said, "What meaneth, you know, the bleeding of the sheep in my ears? Why is Agag here? You have not, you know, fulfilled the commandment of the Lord." He just saw the situation and said, "Well, you're wrong." And then Saul's like, "Well, no, this, that, the other thing." The only person you're deceiving, Saul, is yourself. "Well, no, I'm not that way. You know, I'm this way. I'm something. You know, I believe that this is the way it is." And you know what? The only person you're deceiving is you. Everybody else around is going, "You're wrong. You're wrong." The only person that's deceived is himself. Everybody else says, "You're just proud. You're just arrogant. You're just stubborn. You're just stiff-necked." Everybody else can see it except you. Because pride has a way of just blinding people to reality. And what they end up doing through their pride, through their arrogancy, is they start to think that they're right and everybody else is wrong. And at the end of the day, you know what? What's so infuriating to others is that it's insulting to the intelligence of the rest of us. I mean, think about when you're saying, "Well, I'm right and everybody else is wrong." What you're really saying is, "I'm smarter and everybody else is an idiot." It's insulting. You know what? The Bible says you're deceiving yourself and you're actually the arrogant one. You're actually the one that's full of pride and stubbornness. You're the one who's denying reality. And look, this is an important sermon this morning because of the fact that, you know, we're all going to be wrong about things in life. We all are. We're all going to make mistakes, whether it's just about life in general. We're going to have preconceived ideas. We're going to adopt philosophies that are unbiblical, that maybe even are sinful. You know, we're going to at some point, we're all going to be wrong, probably more than once in our life. And if you don't think that's the case, I'll tell you, you're wrong right now. If you're sitting there thinking, "Well, not me, I've got it all figured out," you're wrong right now. And if you're not willing to admit that right now, you know what? You're proud and you're arrogant and you're stubborn. We're all going to be wrong about things. So you might as well just start admitting it now. I don't have a problem with people being wrong, because then I'd have a problem with myself. I don't have a problem with people being wrong if they can admit that they're wrong. But what I can't stand is when people are clearly wrong about a situation, they're clearly wrong about a doctrine, they're clearly in the wrong, they're shown why, and they just won't admit it. I want nothing to do with people like that. Nothing. Because they're on dangerous ground, they're going to condemn others, they're going to condemn themselves. It's like, I just don't want to be collateral damage in your life. As you just, you know, just go through life, just never being wrong. Because denying reality is dangerous. Let's go ahead and pray.